is the Cross Conference cast for September 9th, 2010, Out of Towners. On this episode, the WPS calls, Chicago ends their season with a bang, Brianna Scurry retires with a whimper, the Cards come out, Hope Solo's got thoughts about statistics, the WCC gets a Mormon, and UC Irvine becomes my new second favorite women's soccer team. There's also much more. Be sure to visit us at crossconference.com or email us crossconference@gmail.com. I didn't know what to expect, but I guess that's what you get. Hi, this is Joan.
And this is Ruth.
And we're back. Finally, it feels like a long time ago. It is the 9th of September. And we haven't recorded for a long time, I feel like. And I was out of town for a while in D.C., though not when they were playing in D.C., so when Freedom was playing. So a lot has happened, sort of. But then a lot of things have not happened. Like, I feel like everything was sort of settled. And you could have guessed everything that happened, maybe.
Yeah, yes, probably.
Do you agree?
Sorry, I was thinking about my staycation, which happened right before your vacation. So.
No, I had a real really good time. It was a big Capoeira event. I got my third cord. It was fun.
Yay! What color is it?
It's yellow and dark green. Once around.
Like Green Bay.
That's true. It is a little bit. Well, a little bit more like the Oregon Ducks. It is the Ducks.
Oh, hey, are we going to talk about the Ducks? Did we put them in the notes?
We're not going to talk about the violence thing, are we?
Oh. Okay.
Or is that what you want to talk about?
Actually, our notes say we don't care about Oklahoma State and Oregon.
Oh, okay. So. That's what they say. Okay. Well, then that's fine. Because I mean, it was just interesting, in that one moment, but not worth really discussing a lot more, because that's going to happen every week between some two teams.
Oh yeah.
One girl's going to lose it and this other girl's going to lose it too. Anyway.
But I think the good thing this time is that it didn't cause a big stir. It was mostly women's soccer fans saying, look, there's this video and look, we don't care about this. We want to talk about something else. Mm-hmm. So
we have a lot to talk about though. I guess we could talk about it. We'll start with the WPS. Not too long after we released the last episode, the WPS cut a lot of its staff. They cut Mary Harvey, former US Women's National Team goalkeeper, and she was their COO. Is that what it is?
Yeah,
I'm awful with acronyms.
What does it mean?
Chief Operating Officer.
She directed traffic.
I think so. And of course they also had earlier gotten rid of, but they cut Amanda Vandervoort's position, which was a real shame because she's very open and she's a good writer on her website, but also. Well, I think she was good at her job, but I don't, maybe they decided they didn't need that job.
Like when I think of the WPS as a league, like, I don't know, that's one of the faces that I come up with. That's one of the names that I come up with, not necessarily Harvey even.
Oh yeah, like I had completely forgotten about Mary Harvey. Until they announced that they could cut her. Like, I remember that she was part of that, part of the, you know, front office of the league itself or whatever.
Right, but you say WPS staff to me, and my first thought's always Vandervoort.
Yeah.
Like, because she is the online presence and name and, you know, I guess she's not anymore, but.
Yeah. Which is, I think it's dumb to really cut your online presence, especially for this particular league, who decided that their online presence was important to them.
But I guess the plan is that they're decentralizing, like they're leaving it up to the individual teams, which could be really good or really bad.
That's true. I mean, it's good for I mean, Chicago will be fine. They have terrific staff. If any of their staff is listening, hello, first of all, and you're doing a great job. Wonderful. Big hearts.
The players are doing a great job too with the marketing, not necessarily on the field. They can maybe work on that a little. Next time.
Next season. Next season. I think that's their new cheer. Rather than like Red Stars, it'll be next season. Or it was, because they already finished their last game. And I don't know what that means necessarily for the league. The cutting of all that staff. Like, I have to say, I haven't seen any positive signs this season about the health of the league. They've said there's more season ticket purchases, but you don't see anything reflected in like the gate numbers. Visibility isn't high any higher. I was looking after Chicago won against Philadelphia, and against DC. I was at the airport after both games, at Chicago O'Hare, and I was looking at the paper, and there wasn't really anything in there. And I was like, oh, so they're kind of ignored in their city. That's kind of unfortunate. But that's just Chicago.
Right, and like it's interesting because they made this move kind of late in the season to cut the staff, but I mean, if they had done it at the start of the season, then it totally would have made sense that St. Louis folded because St. Louis wasn't interested in advertising itself. And you know, like it seems like Philadelphia is doing okay, and they do a bit of self-promotion. Chicago, I would kind of hope, is doing okay because they do a ton of self-promotion. I guess Atlanta seems to be the team in question right now, aren't they?
Think
Like
so,
I think
probably.
there was that quote from the owner that that the city is going to have to decide whether it wants to keep this team.
Oh, yeah. And does Atlanta want to keep, is that team something they think about, or enough of them want to think about?
I don't know. Their basketball team, their WNBA team, is doing well right now, and you know,
Well, they cut
maybe.
Haney, so I don't care.
I honestly have no idea who's on the team right now. I think the Miller twins are, but that's
Oh yeah, that's
basketball
right.
and
They
that's
played on the
NBA.
same team, huh? The crying twins. Anyway, but this isn't about basketball. We need to stop. Stop.
Right,
No
right, right,
basketball.
right. It was more of a it seems like the WPS team down in Atlanta goes to their games sometimes, and maybe they go to their games, and you know, maybe they could help. I don't know how well Atlanta's doing.
I'm afraid. Like, I got cynical about Chicago in the middle of the season, and I've gotten really cynical about the league at the end of the season. And like, and thinking, I'm probably gonna see this league fold in the next couple years.
Yeah.
Not, I don't want that to happen. I don't want the, and I wish there was something more that I could do. And more that, and more other people would do, but it's hard to tell what exactly will make people interested in soccer and then women's soccer. It's like, I don't know. What do you have to say about that?
Probably not anything positive. Like they promised us 3 years, which doesn't really mean much because we've already had two teams fold. And I guess there's talk about Buffalo joining, which I don't know. It just seems a little East heavy if they do. Although it would probably be nice for New York to have an actual New York team instead of mooching off New Jersey. I don't know. Like, yeah, it's not looking real great. But I don't know. I started following soccer between the WUSA folding and the WPSA or WPS starting. So, like, I'm used to WPSL and W League and having to follow players overseas. That's probably why I prefer the college game more, because it's a lot less hunting around for me. I don't know. This is, like, depressing stuff.
No, we started out on such a downer note. Let's...
Let's turn it up. Let's talk about Chicago winning
we'll talk
two in
about,
a row.
We'll talk about the league's future maybe at the end of this season, even though we've talked about the last two podcasts. Yeah, let's talk about Chicago ending with two wins, finally. Ugh, God.
Two wins over, you know, playoff teams.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, I don't know if those teams were... Well, I mean, Washington's, like, clinching thing, you know, like, they...
They haven't clinched.
Their playoff spot is still, you know, hanging in the balance or whatever. And that wasn't the case for Philadelphia, but it was still close. So it was, you know, I think you can see that Chicago had a lot. I mean, they have all the ingredients to be a really great team and to win a lot. And it seemed like these were the only two games where everything worked. Like, all the other games, nothing really worked. And all of a sudden, these last two games, which, you know, can't get them anywhere, but, like, so, it's better to see that they're not, like, they're not total losers.
Well, I guess people have been saying that that's due to the new international, I guess. Played those past two games.
Yes, Veronica Boquette. I don't. It's hard to say because I want to say Boquetti or Boquetti, but she's from Spain, so I don't. People say Boquette, so whatever. Yeah, she's been amazing. I'm very happy with that hire. I'm very, very. I didn't really know what to say too much because I didn't see the W League final. So, but, yeah, let's keep that one. And then, we'll keep building. I think our back four is fine. I've been super, super happy with Engen this season. Don't be like that. She's a pro now.
Oh, right, right.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore. That she played for UNC. I think the back line's good. The midfield, of course, you know, the struggling. They're struggling. Formiga's been great. I was confused about the hiring of Formiga, but she's turned out to be, like, the most dependable player we have. Rapinoe in her Carly Lloyd-like season. She finally scored a goal against Washington at the very end. It wasn't an amazing goal by her standards, or I don't know about her standards, but by my standards of seeing her score goals, it wasn't amazing, but it was good to see her celebrate with the fans and with the rest of the team, finally getting one goal this season. She's got to step it up, like, because seriously, I was used to seeing her just, like, score at will. And then all of a sudden, this struggling with whatever mononucleosis, glandular, I don't know.
Swine flu.
Yeah, whatever you had. Like, let's take care of that. I think Cristiani will be leaving us at the end of this season. I think she's, of all the players to let go of, I think letting go of Cristiani would cause the least outrage and would you know, make sense, because, like, Rubino hasn't had a great season, but I know she's a definite fan favorite, and if they traded, they could get a like a pretty good forward probably for her, but at the same time
they could get a Canadian.
They could get a
You can't, Sophie.
But Sophie's not a forward. Sophie's a midfielder.
Yeah, but I want Sophie to play in our league.
Well, of course she's going to play. anyway, there were some strange things happening with the hair. Thank you for adding that to the notes, Ruth.
Yeah, no problem. I wanted to talk about that because Pino's hair was special.
Yeah, I don't understand what was. It was like her regular thing going on, and then like some weird, proto dreadlock on the right side of her head. Like it wasn't a ponytail because it was just kind of bound to the side. It looked like she was in some post-apocalyptic sci-fi movie where people do weird things to their hair because, you know, oh, it's post-apocalypse, so,
you know. So we have lots of hair product and nothing else.
So we have things to put on our hair to designate that I am part of this tribe and you live in the water or something like that, you know? She reminded me of, like, a lot of, I met a lot of Chilenos, people from Chile last year, and they have some interesting hair. They do some very, and for some reason, they sort of pull it off, and I don't know that she really pulled off the side-bound post-apocalypse Mad Max thing, so, I mean, if we could get an interview with her and see what's going on with that head thing.
You think it's permanent? Like implanted or something?
I didn't even think of that. Now I'm wondering.
Like with Spilger, we know it's not permanent because her hair goes through seasons.
Yeah, stages. It's staging for, you know, sort of a takeoff and then landing. It goes back. Yeah. It's cyclical. I haven't seen cyclical things with Pino's hair. Like, I mean, she had some weird things going on in college, but they weren't too out there. Then all of a sudden, you know, she's lost. Sorry. Okay. So Chicago ended with a bang in their last two games, and that's good for me because I'm a Chicago fan. And I can't really say anything about whatever else went on because I didn't pay attention. I was out of town. You would think I'd been out of town for a month, but no.
I don't think much else went on.
No. Brianna Scurry just retired yesterday from professional soccer.
Again?
No, she didn't retire before. She had never retired. It was the thought that she might retire. And I sort of wish... Not that she, I don't know, like, because in 2004, we didn't really have a better goalkeeper than Brianna Scurry. Maybe not in 2005, but by 2006, you knew that Hope Solo was the number one. And I wish in that sense that Brianna Scurry had been okay with stepping down because we were in a good place. I don't think anything can really mar the impact she had with the national team and what she accomplished, because, you know, Hope Solo doesn't have a World Cup.
She's not going to be getting one anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't think she. I don't know that she'll be getting one. Hope Solo has one Olympic gold medal. Brianna Scurry has two. And a silver medal. And a brand new Scurry was there for the, you know, development of two professional leagues and the fall of one. But
she's bailing before this one collapses.
Yeah, she's like, I think she sees the writing on the wall.
Good job,
she's,
Scurry.
Yeah, she's had an amazing career. Best of luck to her in the future. I don't know where, I know she's from Minnesota. Maybe she wanted to do something about affordable housing there, which would be really terrific.
What about affordable housing in D.C.? They probably need it more than Minnesota.
They do. Another thing that happened yesterday was the players union finally developed. And Jeff Kasouf kind of broke this. Do you want to talk about that?
Let me find the link. Okay, so he had mentioned this a while back, actually. And I remember looking at it and don't remember if I linked you to it or if I linked someone else to it, and
Yeah,
you
you did to me, but then I forgot
were
and I went out of
like.
town.
But at the time, like, it just seemed like something that was, just a filler piece, and possibly not even happening this season, possibly waiting until next season, which is sort of, would have been a bad idea because, next season sort of looks like the last one, and that's a bit late for a union. But that first article and this one, he's got sound bites from McLeod, Aaron McLeod from DC, and it kind of looks like this is what she's been doing while injured, which is a really good use of injury time, probably better than any Bronco does. And I guess it's largely because of the World Cup being less than a year away, and they're going to have to work around that. And they're going to have to, they want to have some input on stadium moves and promotions, which makes sense because it seems like the players are doing the bulk of the good promoting right now. Well, and some of the really bad promoting, but we'll just statistically leave that with one player. But everyone, I mean, everyone else, like, if I'm engaged in a team, usually it's because the players are handling a lot of the promotion, and keeping me engaged. Because the teams tend to target people that can buy tickets, and most of my teams are definitely not anywhere that I can buy their tickets. So this is good news. Hopefully they'll have some say in like roster moves and the actual defining of what a developmental player is. Because like that whole mess in Boston this year where they'd like constantly cut and then re-sign certain players, like that's gotta be frustrating. It's frustrating for the
Yeah,
fans, definitely.
that's crazy business. That's exciting for them. I mean, so that's a good sign. That's a good sign for WPS. Let's cling to that. You want to talk about, oh, some yellow cards. We'll talk about the women's national team, but a little bit later. But it's funny to note that Carly Lloyd is suspended for the last game of Sky Blue FC's season because she got a yellow card in each of her games back, and she played what 15 minutes total. And then the last game she had played, she got a yellow card before she broke her ankle or whatever. And so she has three cards in a row. She's suspended. And that's hilarious 'cause she's played like four games this season. And, but she, I mean, it's not super surprising. Anyone who's watched her game knows that she is pretty much good for a card almost every other game. In this case, it was three games in a row. And since, she's not, fully fit, not fully confident within herself, maybe those yellow cards are going to come a little bit faster. And it's concerning for someone who seems to just be permanently stuck on the women's national team roster that she gets so many yellow cards.
Even when she's injured, she's on the national team roster.
I know, I don't understand that.
That's really amazing. That's like Marcy Miller.
it's not that kid. Like you can sort of see the argument to keep her around, though. It's not like she doesn't know the people on that roster. It's not like we really need to develop our chemistry with Carly Lloyd while she's sitting here on the bench or something. I don't know. I don't understand.
Oh, it would just be terrible to bring in a midfielder that they liked, and somehow throw off that chemistry and suddenly have new options. We wouldn't want new options, would we?
Yeah, no.
Not in that midfield.
I guess we can make one more mention. Oh, I guess no. Okay, so we can do our segment. Okay,
Wait,
so okay.
but the red card.
Oh, the red card.
We've
Oh,
got
yeah.
Huffy with a red card, and we've got three players coming up on suspension if they get another card or two.
Hold on, let me introduce that. And then red cards. Sarah Huffman got a red card. Oh, which means she misses the last game for the Freedom too. Oh, interesting. she got that red card in Chicago. I fast forwarded through a lot of that game after the first goal because I went busy. I just came back from out of town. That's kind of interesting. Sarah Huffman not really known for getting that many cards. She's a tough player, but never one to be carded that often. So she's got a red. She'll miss Washington's last game.
Did Spilger get carded that game?
No, Formiga did, but Spilger did not. She survives.
Her hair did not.
Her hair did not. She does some interesting things, but she can really work it. She's got that, like, I understand things about fashion, and I know that this is temporary sort of thing, whereas other people,
Pino.
Like, it seems, well, it's not like she's, like, stuck with one particularly bad style. It's just, like, there's no cycling back to a good one.
Lohman, maybe?
Lohman. It's Lohman-esque. No, I don't know that it could get that bad. Anyway,
the other players that have yellow card accumulation, Shannon Box has three. She gets one more, then she'll miss the championship game. So I think there's talk of resting her next game, just so she doesn't do that. Candace Chapman, also with FC Gold Pride, has two. And Holmfrieder Magnus' daughter with Philadelphia has two, which isn't surprising because she's a pretty physical player. All of Philadelphia is pretty physical, but I think people complain about her more than the others.
Yeah. So those are things to look out for. This has been a little bit interesting race for those final playoff spots. I still think Washington. Well, who's Washington playing? Atlanta. I think they'll get it. They'll get it. But boy,
if Philadelphia has to play the Bay. Mm-hmm. That's the FSC game on Saturday, and so I mean Philadelphia's in, but I think this will hurt their chances at second place. Something like that. Hmm. Oh, Boston's in second by 1 point. Who's Boston playing? Oh, Boston's playing New Jersey.
How did that happen? Boy, what a turnaround. I think DeChico's got to get coach of the year for that turnaround.
Paul Riley.
He never had to, I don't think he had to struggle. Like,
he didn't have to struggle. He's got a brand new team.
Well, I mean, it seemed like from the start, things were just perfectly fine for them. You know, I think a definite argument could be made, but I don't know. I think DeChico has the best case of really earning it in a way. Montoya will probably get it just because he had Marta. And I don't know, Paul Riley could definitely make a case for himself. Those three. Anyway, sorry, that wasn't let's go to our regular segment, the B in Hope Solo's bonnet. What's Hope Solo talking about on Twitter this time?
Stats. That's more what she's talking about every
more
time.
Statistics. Someone should sign her up for a TED Talk about statistics because she's got something on her mind, Grapes.
But I don't know what happened that made her complain about stats this time. The tweet is from September 5th, and I have no idea.
This is like, okay, so here's the tweet in its entirety, the toot. Let's be real, it's not about stats. And that's TS, lowercase TS, not about stats. I assume it's not about stats. This league just doesn't understand that! Exclamation point. And it's very confusing about what she's talking about. Is she talking about her goals against statistic? Because, honey, you let in 6 goals in one game. So that's a real statistic. And I think everybody understands that one.
It's not about Brazil, clearly.
No, it's not about Brazil, and it's not about imaginary stats. So what doesn't the league understand about statistics?
I think Hope Solo doesn't understand that she's playing in the U.S., and, you know, as much as she doesn't want statistics to mean anything, we're a very statistics-based society. She's just got a deal, man.
Well, I mean, I'm just curious about what statistics she is talking about that are not it, and what it's not about stats. Like, I don't care now. I stopped caring. I've decided that I'm not curious anymore. No. But
she spends a lot of time tweeting about statistics.
She does. Like, was that her minor? College?
I mean,
because it clearly wasn't her major like was public relations. Yeah. And minor in statistics.
Obvious joke is obvious.
It was her passion, really. Oh boy. Yeah. There I don't know. With that note, with a note on statistics and the importance or unimportance of statistics, let's take a little break. We'll be right back with the Cross Conference Cast. Back with the Cross Conference Cast. This is Joan.
And this is Ruth.
The women's national team is playing China, we mentioned, near the beginning of October. And we mentioned it last podcast, and they released a preliminary roster. I don't understand the preliminary roster thing. Why is that a word why is that a qualifier? Preliminary? Like,
maybe it means that some of them won't show up for both games.
Oh, that's true. You're smart. so we can take a look. There's some confusing things in the midfield. Let's see. Goalkeepers. We'll go, Barnhart, Lloyden, Nair, Solo. There's nothing too concerning there, though I wonder if Henderson doesn't deserve a call-up over Lloyden.
That would just be too awesome.
I don't know. I mean, I'm a Red Stars fan, but I think they're sort of... I don't know, they've... Jill Lloyden, I think, has a better reaction time, and she can make those better reaction saves, but I think Henderson's a little bit stronger of a challenger in the box. And I don't know about Nair, because I have seen a few of her games, but I've never seen a team that challenges her very much, so I can't say too much. I mean, she was great for the U-20s in Chile, but that was 2 years ago. So anyway, Hope Solo is probably still going to be on top of that, though I wish there were some stronger challenges for that. Yes?
Yes. I'm looking at the other three, and I don't see any of them challenging her. Barnhart's been content to sit behind Solo for however long it's been now. And Nair is still pretty green. Lloyden, I don't think Lloyden's a real challenger. I think Val Henderson would challenge her. I think Val Henderson would challenge anyone
she
for
would
any spot on the field.
So an arm wrestling contest.
Yeah.
Defenders, Bueller, Cox, Angen getting a call-up, Krieger, LaPelvet, Mitz, Rampone, Schnoor, Taylor. There's nothing to raise any eyebrows there. That looks like a pretty good, solid back line. You could create a pretty solid one.
Kolupny's missing.
Yeah, Lori Kolupny still, yeah. I don't know what's going on there. Still not cleared by the U.S. national team doctors. And it's almost conspiracy-like because it's taken you this long to get a doctor to just clear her. And who knows what's going on. It's really sad because it's like you could put her in the midfield and that would be awesome. But whatever. Midfielders. Oh, we're on the subject. Averbush, Box, Heath, Huffman, Lily, Lindsay, Lloyd, Lohman. That's kind of funny. O'Hara, O'Reilly, Rapinoe, and Tarpley. Good to see Lindsay Tarpley getting a call up. Though her inclusion with some other names just makes me think that this is like these are really bubbly. The bubble players. Like, we're just gonna, I don't know. The Lohman inclusion is a little confusing. And Lindsay's been okay. Lloyd's still coming back, and she's probably, I don't know how fit she is, so I'm not gonna guess on how many minutes she'll play. But I see a lot of similar central midfield players there. Huffman.
I think Lohman kind of makes more sense than Lloyd or Lindsay or even somewhat Lily in this out of the L's. You know, I think Lohman probably makes the most sense. We've talked before about how Lori Lindsay, to be effective, needs to be in charge of the team, and that's not going to happen with the national team. Lloyd, we've already talked her to death this podcast, and Lily really should not be a starter if she needs to be on the roster for the World Cup. But Lohman's stepped it up this season. She could stand to fix her hair, but I don't know. Like, out of those four, I think she makes the most sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess in the overall context of the midfield, maybe not.
Yeah. But I'm seeing a lot of similar players in terms of like the central midfield with the Lindsay, the Huffman, the Lohman, and even like Lloyd, Averbuch. Like that's a lot of overall non-dominance in the midfield. Like, you've got Shannon Box and you know she's going to be that, you go with Shannon Box. That's good. You know, and you're good there. And then the rest of the middle, it's kind of up in the air. And I guess it will yet to be determined who will pair with Shannon Box in the middle. I don't know if I'm off the Megan Rapinoe needs to be in the middle thing yet. But I mean, she has proven to be quite versatile. So she can be very effective on the flanks. I still think she's best in the middle, but whatever. If we're just going to go with her being on the flanks, that's fine. You could do worse. Tobin Heath, we haven't seen Tobin Heath at all this season, so who knows if she's really healthy. This midfield's confusing, but it's against China, so it's not a big deal. At least it's not like, yeah, I'm really going to field this competitive team to really destroy this team that didn't qualify for the World Cup. That's not the case here. Let's move on to the forwards. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chaney, Sydney Leroux, Alex Morgan, Amy Rodriguez, Abby Wambach. So this is interesting. The Chaney Rodriguez Wambach, that's fine. We'll take that as granted. That I'm happy with that. Perfectly fine. The Leroux and Morgan call-ups are curious. I think one or the other, not both.
Not Leroux.
And not LaRue.
I mean, I can get down on Alex Morgan sometimes because I don't think that she's, I don't think she's a senior national team call up yet. I don't think that she's a senior national team call up yet. And I think that Sydney LaRue, if you're going to call her up, you have to call up Christine Nairn too, because they gave equal performances with the U20s. And, you know, UCLA lost to Northwestern already this season. I know Penn State hasn't been doing a great job, but dude, you're UCLA and you lost to Northwestern. I don't even know how to explain how ridiculous that is.
Yeah, and I'm not like, I'm not super convinced on Sydney LaRue's development thus far. I don't see what she brings that you can't get from a Lauren Cheney or an Amy Rodriguez, really. Like, okay, she has speed. Amy Rodriguez has speed, and she's been amazing this season, and she's been pretty good, well, very good for the national team so far this year. Morgan, I don't understand that. I don't understand that over maybe an Ella Masser. Like, granted, I was pretty down on Ella Masser at the beginning of the season, but she proved to just have a little something, a little determination. I guess she just had a nose surgery, so maybe that's why. Maybe that's why she's not getting.
Yeah, I mean, she's done well this season playing at a level that's comparable to the national team level. Alex Morgan's done well this season playing at a college level. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's nowhere near the same thing.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting to see that we have that sort of like a drought of the forwards now. It seems like we have those three, Cheney, Rodriguez, Wambach, which I have to admit is better than what, 07, when it was just Wambach?
Like, that's all you had to go with. It was like Wambach, I think O'Reilly was still at forward then, Kai, who's not on here, which is really interesting. She's been back longer than Lloyd. So.
Yeah, Natasha Kai. What happened to her? Wasn't she playing very well for Sky Blue FC while I was out of town?
I guess. I mean, I went to the New Jersey, the Sky Blue FC, FC Gold Pride game. I can't put them in that order. FC Gold Pride, Sky Blue FC game. And I don't know. She was in, but it was just really really aggravating to watch her, I guess.
Was she making a lot of pointless runs or something, or?
Kind of. She was just, you know, it was very over-dramatized, very playing for the crowd, you know, which is fine. I mean, that works for her as a player, and that's part of her character. But when it's not effective, you know, you kind of need to lay off and go back to the basics, which she wasn't really doing. And FC Gold Pride wasn't even playing, you know, they weren't necessarily playing to win. They were playing to tie, if that. So it's kind of sad that Sky Blue FC couldn't do better with that. They got the tie.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah. I don't think that her missing from this roster means anything. I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think that she's proven she needs to be back any more than Lloyd or Heath have.
That's true. Oh boy, yeah. Let's see. We talked about Brianna Scurry retiring. And her announcement was on USsoccer.com. That's it for the national team, I guess. Let's see. We'll probably record before the games again. But let's see. Let's take another little break, shall we?
Okay.
We'll be right back with the Cross Conference Cast. We don't share no common ground. I'm a sphere, they are squares, they can't even come around. I ain't finished yet. Bitches love me out Houston like spinach dip. Get it? I got that cold flow. Winnipeg, this is work. I am in a different world. Winifred, Jaleesa, all black and priestess. Bubba so far gone, going on releases. And me and my broads is Jamal and Latika. So every time I treat them in the mall, gotta re-up. And y'all gotta relax, talking about that he whack. Or they be reminiscing over Hugh, word of P-Rock. Riding in the CL, hope I never see jail. And even if I do, I know my mama gon' be well. Emmy Lola, love her more than she know it. The youngest out of two, see older, but while it's grown up. When they hate. And we're back. Hey, this is Joan.
And this is Ruth.
We're gonna jump right into the college stuff. The most interesting thing, I guess, is that Brigham Young University joined the WCC, the West Coast Conference. It's unique that it has a football team, which is not joining the WCC because they don't have football. They're staying independent in that regard. BYU is a Mormon school, and I think the rest of the West Coast Conference is Catholic.
Correct? I think there's one exception to that, and off the top of my head, I can't remember who. I want to say Pepperdine just because I don't particularly like them, but
they have a strange field. Yeah, BYU is actually a pretty strong school. Let's see, in terms of women's soccer. I know they had, I think there was some sort of thing earlier that a player chose them because they don't play on Sundays, which I know plenty of teams in the WCC play on Sundays, or they almost always play on Sunday in the regular season. Let's see. Pepperdine is not Catholic. They're affiliated with the Churches of Christ.
Oh yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, good one. Let's see. Though I don't, or as my friend Nora liked to call it, Church O' Christ. That's interesting to see another team join the WCC. That's our conference. It's our baby.
I think they're going to be one of the top three teams. And depending on injuries and stuff, I think Santa Clara could be really challenged by them. I don't know how Portland's looking next year already, but I think BYU will be an instant contender. And they're supposed to join the conference in 2011, so really quickly.
Yeah, that's cool. Let's see. For the rest of the NCAA, like we said before, we don't really care about the Oklahoma State-Oregon throwdown, which was totally minor. Let's see. You want to talk about Notre Dame?
Sure. Notre Dame's off to a pretty good start this season. They've finally done a webcast. They only had audio for the game against Santa Clara, which they won. If you've read my blog entry on the Notre Dame Santa Clara series, it was, if you believe in trends, their year to win. They swap wins depending on who's at home. And let's see, I think that was only a 1-0 win. And then they did a webcast for the game against Texas Tech. And it was interesting to see. It sort of looks like this team has a different chemistry than usual. There are, you know, possibly some trouble spots. They've got Lauren Folks back on the back line. I guess in the past couple seasons, she's moved around the midfield and forward spot a bit. What else? Their next game is against Santa Clara. Their next game is against UCLA, at UCLA. That'll be interesting to see the result for, because UCLA is not really off to the greatest start. They lost to Northwestern. UCLA is one of the top two or three teams in the Pac-10, which is a strong soccer conference, at least at the top. And Northwestern is Big Ten, which, you know, like Penn State and now Wisconsin are contenders from there. But Northwestern, like, not so much. So it's really weird to see UCLA lose to them. And I guess comparatively, Penn State, which is the top of the Big Ten, has had a really rough start to the season. They're currently holding a losing record. And UConn, who's had a terrible start to the season, Penn State managed not to beat them. Like, it seems like a real mess. I know Christine Nairn scored against UConn, but they didn't manage to win that game. It's really concerning because Penn State's got a really good lineup. This looked like it was going to be a pretty good year for them, and this is unacceptable, guys. It needs to be better than this. Step it up. And they're not going to be able to do that in the next couple games because they go out to Portland. They have to play Portland. That's going to be really rough.
Yes, it is.
But it's going to be webcast.
Yay!
I guess I'll keep plowing through these. Santa Clara, speaking of the West Coast Conference, Santa Clara's only loss so far this season has been to Notre Dame, which is really incredible. If you look at their starting lineup, they haven't been starting Olivia Cly, who I think is a really crucial part of the team. And Allie Vernon and Amanda Poach haven't played at all, which I can't find any reason for. I don't think they're injured. I want to say they're not injured, but since one of them's Amanda Poach, there's a possibility one of them's torn an ACL or
Oh no.
knock on wood. Knock on a lot of wood.
I have lots of wood here. Knocking, knocking. Okay.
Else within reach is cardboard. I guess Santa Clara's doing all right. Two of their freshmen are Jackson and Johnston seem to be doing really well, giving a lot to the offense, which is pretty nice to see. Hopefully that'll continue. Hopefully no one will get injured. Doing good so far with that. And then we'll jump back over to the East Coast. In the ACC, we've got Virginia and Boston College on unbeaten streaks, which is pretty cool. Virginia's had sort of a back and forth schedule so far as the strength of the teams they're playing. Boston College has been playing some fairly strong teams. Vicky DiMartino had a hat trick last night against Brown. They won that game.
Brown. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead and laugh. They won
Brown
that game.
Community College.
They won that game 4-1. Not that Brown is amazing or anything. Boston College has beaten some other, pretty good teams or tied some pretty good teams, among them Stanford. Whoa. Okay, my next note says that Stanford pulled ties against Stanford and UNC, but that's not true. They pulled ties against Stanford or Boston College and
Stanford
UNC.
tied themselves.
Yeah, I think Stanford right now is probably their own worst enemy. But they're doing really well. They haven't lost any games. They've had those ties. They've won everything else. Let's see. Rutgers is doing well in the Big East. They've got their Canadian back and in striking position, and she's gotten a couple of assists and a couple of goals. UConn is still doing pretty terribly, horribly, not well at all. All their games have gone to double overtime this season.
Wow.
That's such a shame. I hope that they've got a deep roster because
It's going to be exhausting come the end of the year.
yeah,
They just keep going like that.
I'm sort of thinking that, come the Big East tournament, they're not going to make they might not make it past the first round, if that. Dun dun dun.
That is sad.
Do you want to take the next note?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Portland, they remain undefeated, and they just don't score in the first half ever. Just ever. It's okay. Because they're surviving. They haven't had like this really strong schedule, but they're very much flying under the radar, I feel. They're ranked at least top five, I would say. But still, no one's really talking about them. They're getting goals from lots of different places. Sophie Schmidt, a little, some of their freshmen. I'm sorry, I'm like, I just totally drew a blank. I was looking at the roster here. Taylor Brook. They and I'm okay with that because they kind of flew under the radar in 2005. I mean, it's hard to fly under the radar when you had Christine Sinclair and stuff, but. It's like nobody was really talking about them, and they went undefeated through that whole season and won that national championship. Blah 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 blah.
On PKs.
On what? They won the semifinal on PKs.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. Are
Oh,
you
right, because
forgetting
the
about their
final was
four?
against UCLA,
Yeah,
and
where they totally thrashed them.
yeah.
Sorry,
I'm
I
sorry,
could
I
watch
always
that game.
consider the game against Penn State to be the final because they were the best teams that year.
Yeah, that is very true. I consider that to be the actual final. That UCLA thing was just like, what are you even
That
doing
was
here?
like the victory lap
The
after
victory
Penn State.
lap. Oh God,
I mean, I
that
know I was
was.
kind of annoyed with that at the time, but it's like, that Penn State Portland game was awesome, and I don't remember anything about the UCLA game.
Yeah, that was pretty good. So I mean, I'm pleased with where Portland is now. They're I'm fine with them working out the kinks in these early games, like keeping it close, I guess. But let's see. Everybody needs to check out Emma Nelson's blog, and we'll link it up in the show notes. I think it's just like PortlandPilots.com/Emma Nelson or something, or Nelson blog, or I don't know, but it's pretty good. It's pretty funny. There's a wonderful video of Kendra Chandhok singing the national anthem as Beyonce as Sasha Fierce. It's pretty mind blowing, and I love Kendra Chandhok. She's delightful, delightful player, delightful girl. Let's see. So that's Portland. I guess we got to toss out some talk about UNC. They're undefeated. That's
Which
not
isn't
surprising.
saying much.
It's not surprising, and not really saying much this early on in the season. I'm sure they'll do fine. If I get to see some of their games, which I will try to see some of their games if they broadcast them at all or if they're on TV, just to take a look at the future of the overhyped players for the national team. Oh, I wanted to make note that I have a second team. We discussed this team like last podcast or the podcast before. I've decided that Ruth has a lot of teams that she follows, and really I only put my focus and my support behind Portland. But I'm making an exception this season, and I have decided to throw what's left of what I can support from, because my energy for Chicago is gone. My energy for Portland is, the same. So I have this spare energy that we don't want to waste. We can't be wasteful in economic times such as these. So I am throwing that support behind UC Irvine, the Anteaters.
What conference are they in?
The SEC.
Everyone is in the SEC.
It doesn't matter what conference they are in. And I don't know anything about them other than they're the Anteaters and they're from my former hometown of Irvine, California. Very formal. It was a long time ago, so please don't ask me anything about Irvine. So that's going to be my second team, and I will follow them as best I can in some sort of fashion, and I hope they do well. I'm going to randomly choose a player right now to be my favorite. I'm looking it up. You see her. We're going to go very, very random. Look at what's happening. Oh no, that's the wrong page.
Okay, your number one hit when I search for your women's soccer team should not be
that totally boring website.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm finding the roster now. I think I bookmarked it, but now I lost the bookmark. Okay.
Oh, they're Big West, by the way.
Oh, they're Big West? They're not SEC?
I'm sorry. They are not.
Oh.
Can you still support them? Oh, my Big West school is Cal Poly.
We're just going to... I'm moving my finger up and down the screen, and we're going to stop. Lanny Amick, congratulations. You are now my favorite player on the UC Irvine Anteaters women's soccer team.
I hope you get minutes.
You're a sophomore. I hope you play the season. Oh, God. Let's click on her name. She's from Danville, California.
Ooh, that's where Danny Potts is from.
Washington State. So she's a transfer.
Ooh. She probably does get minutes.
Redshirted at Washington State. Oh, this does not look good for me. Majoring in biology. That's terrific.
Yep. I don't recognize any of these names.
I don't either. But this is my second team. We go Anteaters. Maybe her name's Lonnie Amok.
What's her number?
Amick.
Oh.
Oh, I am sorry. I should have chosen someone easier.
She has nice hair.
She does. That's lovely hair. Good job, Lanny.
She played in 14 matches in 2008 for Washington State. Maybe that red shirt last year was an injury.
That maybe.
Wow, the Iron Girl Team Award.
That's cool. I don't know what that is.
Is that iron in her leg? Like titanium leg rods?
I don't know. If anyone from UC Irvine would like to come and tell me about their team, the email address is crossconference@gmail.com. You can also Twitter us some facts about the Anteaters. Crossconference is the Twitter handle. Just visit our... Oh, I should mention that we got our domain. Crossconference.com. Post a comment. I will write about my experience with the UCI Anteaters, being a fan of their team. There's a lot of impronounceable names here. This is not good for me.
Small schools tend to have.
It's a learning experience. They're all from California. Uh-oh. Did I choose a really xenophobic team? That is afraid.
It's California. At least it's not Arizona.
Yeah. Well, there's not many people from Irvine. There's one player from Irvine, Zoya Farzana. I wonder if she's a former neighbor. Because we all live together in Irvine. Anyway. Oh, this is probably really offensive to somebody.
Somebody, somewhere.
So this is going to be really offensive.
Well, let's talk about something really quickly that's less offensive. Okay. In real SEC news, Auburn beat Florida State.
Oh, my.
It took a while to sink in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I haven't heard much about Florida State.
I'm sure they're, you know, being Florida State-ish. I guess I could look it up.
Because they don't have, like, their Yamaguchis or their Trotters.
They have Tony. Oh, my gosh, I'm blanking now. They've got a couple of under 20 players. Let's see. Yes. Auburn beat them 3-2 in double overtime. And
what's up with these overtimes in the regular season? I don't understand.
There's been a really insane number of them so far.
There's that's weird. And that needs to end.
It does. Mostly because it takes up a lot of my time. I have to sit there for two overtimes watching that game tracker. Like, no. We're not doing that.
We have things to do. We have sweaters to knit now. I don't know.
We have podcasts to record. Interviews to set up.
We're an hour into this, but there's a lot I can cut out. So, all right. So...
In case we just want to tack this on, that loss to Auburn was Florida State's only loss so far this season. They tied Georgia in exhibition, and they beat Washington State, Gonzaga, Stetson, and Mercer. Stetson and Mercer sound like tiny nothing schools, so you can ignore them.
Stetson and Mercer sound like aftershave. Let's see. Okay, so I guess we can sort of wrap this up. We don't have a Twitter award winner because I've been out of town.
And nobody's earned it.
Yeah, nobody's really stepped up. I think maybe Spilger for her hair. Natalie Spilger. And she's let's just shout out to Natalie Spilger's blog on Green Laces Athletes or whatever. We'll link it up. But yeah, good job. She could win something. We're going to get a little bit more formal next year. We're going to have solid winners every podcast who really earn it.
Are we going to come up with an award to give during the
college season?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, they don't really Twitter because they're doing their college thing. I don't know.
And they're not really allowed. Like UNC is cracking down because UNC is a bunch of butts. But
they are made of butts. That's
heel, but matured, you know,
my maturity coming through. I want to like them, but sometimes they just do things like that. And
often,
anyway, they don't have an Emma Nelson blog. Booyah! They don't have Kendra Chanhok singing the national anthem.
BYU has a good blog. I think they'll be an excellent addition to the West Coast Conference.
Anyway, so we don't have a winner, but do we have any action points? I would love to hear from someone from UC Irvine. Oh, I really need to get used to saying that because they're my second favorite team now.
I'd love to hear from people from Portland and Santa Clara. That'd be awesome.
If some people from Portland, fans, you know, players, whatever. We're still working on the series about the Santa Clara Portland matchup, which is coming. I can feel it.
It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, and it's like there's really stuff at stake this year. And it's gonna be great. So
I'd like to hear from people from UConn and Penn State. I want to know just what's up with this mess. It's a big mess, and I don't understand. It's kind of painful, and I'd like someone to tell the webcast commentator at Washington that he's amazing. He does the best college soccer commentary now that Notre Dame's crew has graduated. Their commentary was so blah over the weekend, but Washington was amazing. Like I would rather listen to that than pretty much anything else. So I kept it running in the background. It's great.
Okay.
Just FYI, you need to check it out.
All right. Okay. So we're wrapped up. You can contact us once again. Our email is crossconference@gmail.com. You can find our blog, crossconference.com. We're on Twitter, Cross Conference. We're very open to, we respond and we appreciate everything. You know, we appreciate every listener, every review. You can, review us on iTunes. Thank you to the people who have. Thank you very much to the people who answered the call for action and reviewed us. As far as I know, we're still the only women's soccer specific podcast out there.
Even though we don't do accents. Sorry.
We don't do accents. Yeah. I can try and speak Portuguese, but there's no Brazilian accent, I'm convinced. There's no Brazilian English accent. It's so hard. It's just like it's weird. Anyway. We're done. Jump in the circle, lay eight, break dance, start abstract dancing. Getting the job done, but more freelancing. You had to have the rhythm, but that was just a given. The LA scene was super clean, dancers had the vision. It was Hollywood Live, Unity, brown rice, and barbecue. Graveyard shift, nappy at the root. Water to push, ballistics, even B-sides. Had Lotus in the breaks where the music provide. Can't vibe it as we dancing, flips and flares. Colgate was the best, rocking crazy upstairs. Keeping it clean, routines two at a time. I find dance is the best way to unwind.
y'all. Move y'all. Smooth groove to break beats, live bands to techniques, sledge bringing the heat, greet dance floor with raw energy, emotion, wild and wild styling, gliding and coasting, play one and two in, soul brother rocking, freezing a position, hardcore hair popping, stopping on a snare, moving on the drum, it's the headbanger boogie, open up and get some, hype songs make it live, hardest out of copy, record shop beat, street scene at the Roxy, cardboard linoleum, crew to crew combat, low life fight, nightclub, where the scene at, open up the circle, cheer the hero.
Hey, do we want to stick in, like, you know how at the end of movies they have those little like Easter egg, you know?
I think that's gonna be the beginning stuff.
But I mean, do we want to mention that we're gonna interview Tiff Weimer and Carmelina Moscato?
Yes, we do.
Tack it on at the end after the music.
Yeah,